Welcome to Exhibition, an Xbox podcast, episode number 79. My name is Samuel Adams, and on today's show, the drama continues between Microsoft, Sony, and Activision Blizzard as everyone digs into the details of this record-setting $69 billion acquisition that's set to close sometime in 2023. Now, will this deal make it to the finish line? Only time will tell. But boy, things are getting very spicy. We have a potential offer of 10 years of Call of Duty on PlayStation, and Microsoft saying that their exclusives are not as good as Sony or Nintendo. Big statements there. And so we'll talk more about that on today's show. We also have the next-gen update for The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt to dig into, a throwback Xbox 360 gamepad that's coming to modern consoles, and so much more. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into it. According to the New York Times, on November the 11th, Microsoft offered Sony 10 years of Call of Duty on PlayStation. And that's a pretty big offer. This comes after months of people like Jim Ryan making claims that Call of Duty could potentially go exclusive, that Xbox would have a monopoly in the industry, that Game Pass would decimate them as a competitor, and the world of PlayStation as we know it today would end. There's a lot of drama around this whole thing. At the end of the day, Phil Spencer is on the other side saying Call of Duty is not going anywhere. We want to keep it on PlayStation as long as there's a PlayStation to release it on. And on top of that, we want to release it on other platforms. He's talked about the Nintendo Switch as a potential new destination for Call of Duty, depending on how the tech works, etc., etc. So you have these two opposing sides, one of which is claiming Call of Duty is going to be taken away, stolen, etc. You got the other one over here that's saying that's not happening at all, but the arguments still continue. I guess that's the nature of doing business in 2022. But to calm those fears, Phil Spencer and the team at Xbox have now extended a 10-year Call of Duty offer over to Sony, which has reportedly been rejected. And this all comes from the New York Times. So, first and foremost, a couple of big questions. Number one, is this 10-year contract on top of the existing agreements that are there between Sony and Activision Blizzard? So if there are two additional years left in the existing agreement, are we looking at 12 guaranteed years of Call of Duty on PlayStation? Also, we know nothing about the monetary side of this offer. Is the offer potentially less than the agreement between Sony and Activision Blizzard? How does it stack up to past agreements, and is this something Sony is okay with? So again, lots of outstanding questions here, but one of the biggest comments I've seen online since this news broke is 10 years, what happened to we want to release it on PlayStation as long as there's a PlayStation to release it to? And I turned to The Verge's Decoder podcast as reported on here by Video Games Chronicle, where Phil Spencer said, quote, "This idea that we would write a contract that says the word forever in it, I think, is a little bit silly. But to make a longer-term commitment that Sony would be comfortable with, that regulators would be comfortable with, I have no issue with that at all," end quote. And that's exactly what we have here. This is something that is meant to be kind of like a peace offering. 10 years of Call of Duty, a decade of Call of Duty, guaranteed, ready, and waiting for you there. And after that contract is up, my bet is they would want to go back, renegotiate, see where the franchise is at that point in time. Because 10 years is a long, long time. I mean, from now, we're basically in 2023. Let's call it 2033 is when this new contract would go into play. That's a long time. In fact, it could be even longer than that if we factor in the existing agreement. So 10, 12, 13 years, whatever it might be. Call of Duty as a franchise might be dead and gone by then. I mean, you look at what happened with Medal of Honor back in the day, and again, they aren't comparable one-to-one, but still, that franchise is basically defunct. There's nothing left of it. So Call of Duty is not this impenetrable fortress of solitude that is just going to exist forever. Again, very strong, very impactful franchise, but 10 years gives everybody the opportunity to kind of check back in, reset the board, see where the industry is at that point in time, because Sony could be out of the game, Microsoft could be out of the game, who knows what we're looking at. Nintendo could be the main leader in 10 years. I have absolutely no clue what that's going to look like, and neither does anyone else. So this assumption that contracts are going to be made in perpetuity is something that is very, very naive of people to believe. That's just not going to happen in the world of business. And in my opinion, 10 years is on the long end. I mean, that is a big offering from Microsoft. I think that 5 years is probably the norm. Even less than that is generally more of the norm. And again, I'm just looking at what I see out there on the internet, not having any kind of inside sources or anything. But 10 years, that's a pretty big deal. Now, this conversation is being had alongside others about exclusivity in the industry, and there has been a very interesting quote dug up by Kotaku in the documents filed in the CMA investigations, where Xbox has said, quote, "Sony has more exclusive games than Microsoft, many of which are better quality." They go on. "Both Sony's and Nintendo's exclusive first-party games rank among the best-selling in Europe and worldwide. Current Sony exclusive content includes prominent first-party titles such as The Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima, God of War, and Spider-Man. In addition to having outright exclusive content, Sony has also entered into arrangements with third-party publishers, which require the exclusion of Xbox from the set of platforms these publishers can distribute their games on," end quote. Now, going on deeper into that conversation, they also make the claim that if Microsoft were to make Call of Duty console exclusive, which they won't, but if they would, it wouldn't even make that big of an impact because of the power of these exclusives that PlayStation has under their belt, which I think is a pretty strong argument to make. Now, Call of Duty will always have an impact, and if it were to make, or if it were to be made, a console exclusive for Xbox, that would undoubtedly have an impact on the overall business model for PlayStation to some capacity. Now, I think it's going to be much less than Jim Ryan is making it out to be because of this statement. Again, whenever I think about PlayStation, I think about God of War. I think about The Last of Us. I don't really think about Call of Duty. I think about the big games they have that are only available on PlayStation that are made in-house, and they have an incredible library of games lined up there. So, this is just part of the overall conversation, but I bring it up on today's show, number one, to see that Xbox is very well aware of the disparity of quality between them and their competitors, which I think is very important because the first step to understanding your problem is admitting you have a problem. And Xbox has a big first-party content problem. Now, I think it's getting fixed. I think that remedies are on the way, but time after time, these big Xbox games come out and they just don't hit that same level as what God of War Ragnarok is, as what The Last of Us or The Last of Us Part 2 is. It just isn't hitting yet. And so they really need to take a step back and focus on the development of those games that are making them into that true first-party competitor on the same level as Sony. Now, Nintendo, bit of a different story. Different games, different people, different players, because Pokemon as a console exclusive is not really going to cater to the same audience as The Last of Us or as Halo, Animal Crossing, Mario. These are all games that are mutually loved, but they aren't quite one-to-one comparison. So I don't really consider them to be a direct competitor, although they are. It's kind of weird. But Sony, on the other hand, certainly does have a lot of exclusives, so Xbox should be comparing themselves to Sony. Focus on being truly competitive in that space. But between the Call of Duty offering for 10 years of Call of Duty on PlayStation and this statement this week, things are continuing to get interesting, and the FTC is preparing to fight the acquisition, which is pretty much expected. We had that report earlier this week. They are preparing to lawyer up and make some cases, and I'm sure that Microsoft has no problem going to bat as well. So it's about to be a very interesting few months. Personally, I can't wait for this thing to be over. Like, let's just get it done one way or the other, because I am so tired of talking about it. And I guess I just want to end off on one more note. No matter what happens, fundamentally, players are fine either way. At the end of the day, the only thing that is truly changing is Game Pass availability for Call of Duty in the future and other games in the future. You can still buy the games that are being made. You can still go out and get them. The projects are not changing. However, I do think that Microsoft would be better about using legacy IP. I do think Microsoft would be better about freeing up developers to do what they want rather than what makes money all of the time. You know, right now you have so many teams that are working on Call of Duty. Imagine cutting back on Call of Duty development and focusing on Maybe a new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, you know, stuff like that. A new Guitar Hero would be neat. To be able to focus on those other projects, I think, would be a big boon for the industry versus just continuing to churn and burn these classic Activision Blizzard icons that we all know and love, but that are getting a little bit long in the tooth. Again, not saying they should go away, but I think Microsoft is more open to new development ideas. So I would love to see it close. If it doesn't, it's all right by me. Doesn't matter either way. The games keep on coming. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is getting its next-gen upgrade on December the 14th, and this is something that a ton of people have been waiting a very long time for, including myself, because I have never played through The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt in full, and it might finally be time to dive on in, because currently, at the time of this recording, it's on sale for $10. This is the complete edition of the Game of the Year edition, that is normally $50 and includes all of the DLC, and so that version is going to be upgraded to the next-gen version when it drops later on in December. But what exactly is included in this next gen upgrade? According to Robert Malinowski over on the Xbox Wire from CD Projekt Red, Xbox Series X players can select from performance and quality modes. Performance prioritizes frame rate at 60 FPS, while quality prioritizes visual fidelity at 30 FPS. In quality mode, ray tracing comes into play, with ray traced global illumination and ambient occlusion bringing more realistic overall lighting and surface lighting effects. Series S players can select between dedicated 30 FPS and 60 FPS modes, with the former presenting the game at better textures and at higher resolutions, and the latter presenting a smooth 60 FPS experience. In addition, Xbox Series X benefits from Fidelity FX Super Resolution, a powerful upscaling technology which boosts frame rate and uses a spatial upscaling algorithm to maintain high visual fidelity. There are also integrated mods, and on top of that, some The Witcher Netflix series related DLC coming down the pike, on top of bug fixes and much, much more. So, tons of new content that's coming here for The Witcher 3's Wild Hunt next gen upgrade. And again, it's all free, so why not go ahead and dive in and give it a shot? And for $10 on Black Friday deals, you can't really beat it. So let me know down below, would you be interested in returning to the world of The Witcher 3, or have you never played it and you do want to dive in? I'd love to hear your thoughts down below. If you're a fan of the Xbox 360, I've got some great news. That gamepad is coming back. And of course, it's coming back with its beauty and its faults. I loved the way the Xbox 360 controller felt. It still is one of the best feeling controllers of all time. But the D-pad is a huge pain. And on top of that, this new model that's coming out is wired. So it really does bring you a throwback to those early Xbox 360 days. But this is coming from the team at Hyperkin, who made the Duke controller that released a couple of years ago, a throwback to the original Xbox on the Xbox Series X, S, and Xbox One. And that controller was so successful, they partnered with Xbox to bring a 20th anniversary of the Duke and a Cortana model of the Duke, both of which are normally still available on Amazon for about $60, $70, depending on when you look. But this new Xenon controller is a throwback to the Xbox 360. It comes in a couple of controller colors, but black and white, of course, are their mainstay staples that are basically exactly what you remember from back in the day. And of course, that comes with some faults. The D-pad is the Xbox 360 D-pad. Not the best feeling one out there. But you also have a wire that's connected here. These are wired controllers, according to the website, which is super unfortunate. I would love to see these controllers go full wireless, because that would be a no-brainer for me. But while it might have some legacy features, like, again, that D-pad, like that charging cable that is continually connected to it, just straight up wired to your Xbox, you also have some modern amenities. We have a share button, so you can share your gameplay with your friends as you would on any new controller. And you have a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack, meaning you can plug and play with a headset no matter where you are. So still nice to see that they're bringing those modern features, but it's really awesome to see the 360 return, because so many people are nostalgic for this controller. And once again, you know, Modern Warfare 2 is out. Feels like it's a great time to go ahead and dive back in and enjoy some classic Xbox 360 action. So I will share more when a price and release date are out there, but I still think it's such a cool, nostalgic project to be able to see a 360 controller coming to modern consoles, and of course it's going to work on PC as well. So stay tuned for more details, but I'm just so happy this project is just existing. Just what a great thing. To wrap up today's show, Xbox is continuing to experiment with its home user interface, especially for Xbox insiders. If you're in the Alpha Skip Ahead or Alpha Ring, you might notice some things look a little bit different in the weeks ahead. Now, these changes are a long time coming because over the past few months, some Skip Ahead users have been noting that a lot of the new home user interface is geared towards Game Pass, is geared towards the store versus the games that they already own and those that they play. And so I think that as a player who plays Game Pass. That has become the focus for this generation for me. The new games that are on Game Pass, what can I play that's new? That is a big part of the Xbox experience. But if you don't buy games digitally, if you don't subscribe to Game Pass, well, you don't really need all of that stuff on your home screen because it all kind of looks like one big ad when you're looking at it from the outside looking in. And so, new customization options are on the way that allow you to basically customize the experience to exactly what you want. In this round of preview updates, they write on the Xbox Wire, different layouts of home grouping, the customer-picked modules together for easier access will show to some gamers. Let us know what your favorite is. So you can see two different options, effectively, that show a lineup of the games that you're playing from top to bottom, or you can see your pinned favorites tab, so you can just have your games pinned there. Now, personally, I like the game module setup because you've got, for instance, in the screenshot you're looking at now, Forza Horizon 5 is the game on the left, but then you've got some achievements that are coming up. Then you've got some community shares, the posts that the games can make, and then you have the Microsoft Store link. For Halo Infinite, looking for group is on the far right. The posts that are in the community tab are right there. You also have the achievement stuff. So it kind of gives you a more encapsulating experience rather than just saying, here's your games. But that option's still there if you do want it, so it's nice to see that is there. So those are the two main changes, and on top of that, there are more changes coming in the future as reported on by Idle Sloth, who pulled out the quote, "We've heard a ton of varied feedback, including wanting to see more of your custom background," end quote. So I look forward to hearing more about that in the weeks ahead, because these new blocks have kind of shut off a lot of the art that we see in the background behind the tiles themselves, and Xbox has some great dynamic backgrounds, of which they continue adding more. So I'd love to see those kind of come more to the forefront. At the end of the day, it's a balance of advertising services and products versus giving you the experience you want to have. And so giving players the option, I think, is really important here. And I think that's exactly what they're doing with the new home user interface. So if you are in the Alpha Skip Ahead ring or the Alpha ring, I'd love to hear your thoughts down below if you do get this experiment later on this week. And let me know what you think. That wraps up this week's episode of Exhibition, an Xbox podcast. If you enjoy the show and you are new here, be sure to hit that subscribe button. And of course, you can find the show every single Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube and on podcast services around the world. But until next time, you guys have a fantastic one. I'll talk to you soon. And remember, keep on playing.